When the documentary Enron, The Smartest Guys in the Room, opened in Houston, ex-employees of the company got into the screening for half price by showing their old badges. Film critic David Edelstein says that even if you didn't lose your job and your savings when Enron collapsed, you should still see this movie.
We Americans agree on few things, as we agree on the perfidy of the leaders of the Enron Corporation. That's why Alex Gibney's documentary, Enron, The Smartest Guys in the Room, is the feel-good movie of the year. Baby, it's payback time. Well, the film is not entirely unsympathetic to the men who presided over the most spectacular business fraud since the Gilded Age. Enron leaders, Ken Lay and Jeffrey Skilling, might not be tragic heroes, but they hung themselves with their own hubris. You can't call the documentary muckraking, since the muck has been pretty well raked. But the playful illustrations and ironic pop songs have a touch of Michael Moore-ishness that I thoroughly enjoyed. Along with millions of others, I lost a bit of money in Enron. Actually, not that much if you consider my original investment, but a nice chunk of change if you look at what I might have made had I sold as early as... well, as Lay and Skilling, who divested themselves of tens of millions of dollars worth of shares right before the stock price plummeted. The actual trials of Lay and Skilling are yet to come, and I'd advise defense attorneys to keep the jurors far from the smartest guys in the room. It's based on a book by Fortune magazine reporters Peter Elkin and Bethany McLean, whose February 2001 article, "Is Enron Overpriced?" sounded the first note of skepticism. It was a lonely voice because these men were regarded as visionaries. Lay was a poor Baptist preacher's son who became an apostle of deregulation. He wanted to liberate businessmen from the shackles of government, and that's what he got when the SEC, under his close friend George H.W. Bush, approved, quote, mark-to-market accounting that allowed Enron simply to shift its losses to the books of bogus offshore companies. The more fascinating figure is Skilling, the nerd who remodeled himself as a macho gambler, and who used his favorite book, Richard Dawkins' The Selfish Gene, to justify savage competition, both outside and inside the workplace. The tone of the film and its narrator, Peter Coyote, is delightfully deadpan, so that points are scored just by juxtaposing executives' public testimony with facts. Here's Lay in October 2001, reporting on the state of the incredible collapsing company to incredulous employees.
As you can, of course, see, the underlying fundamentals of our businesses are very strong. Indeed, the strongest they've ever been. But regrettably, that's not what Wall Street is focusing on, and I doubt that's what you're focusing on.
Rumors were just rampant. I mean, they had started to fly with Jeff Skilling's resignation, but they were kind of a way of life now at Enron.
This inquiry will take a lot of time on the part of our accountants and lawyers and others. But it will finally put these issues to rest.
At the very moment Ken Lay was talking to employees, only a few blocks away, Enron's accounting firm, Arthur Andersen, had begun destroying its Enron files. On October 23rd, Andersen shredded more than one ton of paper.
2 weeks after an anguished Enron executive named Cliff Baxter committed suicide, Lay and Skilling were called to testify before Congress. You scan their faces for signs of shame or conscience, but it's all bland obfuscation. They were, one observer says, like captains who didn't go down with the ship, but lowered themselves into lifeboats and shouted back up to the passengers and crew that everything was just fine. Arguably, the biggest crook was their associate, Andrew Fastow, who was later sentenced to 10 years for skimming scores of millions from employees, old-age pensioners, you name it. Yet just by taking the fifth, instead of egregiously dissembling, he comes off as weirdly admirable. The most chilling part of the movie covers the energy crisis and the rolling blackouts in California, which turn out to have been partly engineered by Enron traders exporting power from the state to raise prices artificially. Director Gibney plays audio tapes of phone conversations, which reveal the traders commanding plant managers to, quote, get creative in finding reasons for shutdowns, and then exulting in their power. They watch wildfires on TV exacerbated by a crippling heat wave and say, burn, baby, burn. In this context, though, we're the ones burning, with rage. Thanks to Enron, the smartest guys in the room, it's no longer blind rage. I now know where my money went, and I'll do my damnedest not to get scammed again.
David Edelstein is film critic for the online magazine Slate.